Hi guys, welcome to the AHA podcast. Today, I am back with my sister. We're going to be talking about behind the scenes of YouTube. So I talk about how I got started with my channel, what goes on behind the scenes of brand deals, sponsorships. I address some stereotypes that are not true about YouTubers. So, you know, we just talked a lot about what it is like being a YouTuber. So if you're curious, make sure you keep on listening. The review of the week is titled Feeling Good Like I Should. I'm not sure if this person actually meant to reference the song from Surfaces, but the review says, "Oh my gosh, Eugene / Kelly on a podcast. Love this chill podcast already, and your voices are so nice to listen to and super relaxing. Definitely recommend." So thank you so much for a review, and yes, if you guys like our podcast and if you enjoy listening to us every week, definitely leave us a review so that we can see your feedback and to see that you're actually enjoying it. We're going to go ahead and do some life updates as life has been kind of crazy. So yeah, why don't you go first, because you haven't spoken to them in a while.
Okay, so as you heard last week, my laptop was completely covered in my iced coffee, but I let it dry for 2 days and then I turned it back on expecting it to be like dead, but it's actually working fine. The sound is working, the keyboard is working, the screen is working, but I just have a little bit of water damage. So
are you still planning to take it in and like get it fixed, or are you just gonna keep it like that?
I do want it fixed, but I actually checked Apple stores near me and like all the electronics stores, and they're closed.
Oh yeah,
so I can't get that anytime soon, but when things start opening back up, I'm gonna bring it in to get my screen fixed, because it looks like it's bad but it's still working, so I'm confused.
Okay, well there's that.
Coronavirus. I know everyone and everything is talking about the coronavirus right now, but my update is that I live in Illinois, and as of today, actually an hour ago, we're on a stay-at-home order, which is not a lockdown, but it's you can't go outside for non-essential reasons. So I can get food, I can like go get medicine or go to a hospital if I need to, but anything other than that, I can't go outside. So that's kind of scary, but at least we're taking action before this gets really bad in our state, because here it's not that bad.
Wait, California's on that order right now too, right? Or did it?
I think so.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure so far California's still at the stay-at-home order too, but things might get a little more strict within the next few days. I'm not really sure, but probably, because it is pretty bad here. I think New York City is the worst, but California is definitely next to that, because we just have so many people here and it's very overpopulated, and that's what you get for being in a overpopulated city. People go around, and I still see stories of people outside and like running around and meeting people in LA, and I'm like, have you not seen the news? I have just accepted the fact that there's always gonna be those people who don't really listen and don't really care, and I don't want to be that person. And I really hope that you guys are not those people either, because yeah, it's getting bad. And I am so tired of this. I wish I could just go out and have fun, but I can't. For another, I don't even know how long.
For us, it's supposed to last until April 7th, but it can be extended. So I've been working from home for over a week now, and I have to work like 2.5 more weeks at home. So like, I don't know where this is going, but mentioning the social distancing and like the stay-at-home orders, even if you don't feel like you're gonna die from this, and even if you think you're not gonna get it, the scariest thing to me is that right now we're running low on test kits and like supplies in general in hospitals. So if a young person like me gets sick or gets the virus, they will not test me, And even if you're 100% sure that you have it, you're not going to get tested because you're way low on the priority list. And I think that scares me because I might eventually die, but I'm not going to have the diagnostics to say that I died from this virus. So, oh, sure, like I'm healthy. Even if I get it, I'm going to recover. I'm going to just stay at home, self-quarantine myself. But know that when you really want to go into a hospital and get tested, they're not going to put you on the priority list because you're not. So I think that's what's supposed to scare you at this point if you're going out still.
Yeah, so at this point, it's just like going outside and meeting people. It's like you're risking your life almost. And we can say that for sure, if you're young and you don't feel good and you have the symptoms of the virus, you're not going to get tested unless they figure out a way they, you know, have new supplies and like have enough to test everyone, which I doubt that's going to happen anytime soon. So it's just best to look out for yourself and for your own health and stay away from people. And I think that's enough of the virus talk because I've been hearing about this everywhere and honestly, I'm tired of it. For me, my update is, I don't know, I don't really have much update. I feel like I recorded last week's episode literally like yesterday and it's already been almost a week, which is crazy. Being home, I feel like time's flying by, at least for me. And I haven't really felt bored because I've been so occupied with everything that I have to do. But yesterday, I went out to grocery shop one more time. I have fully stocked pantry. And that's kind of holding me back from going home because I could fly home, but I kind of can't because I feel so bad to like leave all this here when I went out to buy everything with my own money. And it's just a hassle to figure out what I'm gonna do with all this stuff.
I think time has gone by really quickly for me too because the first week it's just really like I wasn't panicked, but I had this like I have to be prepared. So I was out like buying supplies, buying food, stocking up on my groceries, and then sending you a package because you needed some stuff, and then trying to clean my whole apartment and clean surfaces because I was so paranoid that the virus is gonna come with me, like on my clothes or whatever. And so the first week, that was all I did. Like I was running around doing all these things to make sure that I was prepared and I have all the stuff I need and I'm, you know, ready for however many more weeks of quarantining. So I don't know how the next week is gonna go, but that was my first week of quarantine.
I'm fine being home alone, but I can almost feel this like burnout / rut coming in, like slowly creeping into my life, and I'm just like, oh no. If I could create a meme to express how I'm feeling, I could. Like the black darkness is like coming in, I'm like trying to hold it away from me. Yeah, but it's okay, I'll figure something out. Like honestly, if I really want to go home, I'm gonna go home even if you tell me not to, because my sister has been like to stay there, and like my parents are like fine with me coming home, but they're like, if you can stay here, just stay there because, you know, make your life a little bit easier and make others people's life easier. But if I want to go home, I'm gonna go home.
But the one good thing about this virus and everyone having to self-quarantine is that I feel like the earth is breathing a little bit. Like people aren't driving places, flying places. Everyone's stuck at home. They're not making as much trash by doing stuff outside. And I think that could be a good thing. Like it could be a reminder to like not be doing as much and taking time for yourself at home. Because I feel like people these days are so bad at social distancing. Like everything is about like being in these like huge groups of people, going to like festivals, concerts, going out every night, and driving places, flying places, on like all these vacations. I mean, I'm not like that too, but this world was already like doing that a lot. So I hope this is a time for everyone, like literally the whole world, to just like slow down for a second and just take the time to slow down and social distancing. I don't know if that makes sense. I might cut that out, but yeah. there could be a good thing to this, is what I'm trying to say.
Okay, yeah, we're done talking about this.
No more
virus. Today's topic is we're going to title this episode "The Behind the Scenes of YouTube," because I think a lot of people would like to know what it goes behind all of my YouTube videos and what it's like to be a YouTuber and just, yeah, everything like that. So we're going to get into the details. We're going to do this like an interview style. My sister's going to ask me questions and I'm going to try my best to answer it in a very detailed manner. So yeah, here we go.
Okay, first off, I want to ask you, how long have you been a viewer and how long have you been a YouTuber?
Okay, so I think, I honestly don't know how I came across YouTube, but YouTube was one of those apps that came along with my iPhone 5 when it used to have that brown emoji, or not emoji, like the brown icon for the YouTube app. So yeah, I honestly don't know how I got into it, but I've been watching YouTube since maybe like fifth grade. So it's been about 7 years. And starting YouTube, it's kind of hard to say when I started YouTube because I had two channels. One I started in maybe seventh, eighth grade. And then the other one I started in 10th grade, I believe. So the channel that I have right now, I've had for about 2 years. Yeah, about 2 years. A little over 2 years.
What's the channel that you had before that? The one you made in 7th grade?
That's where I shared all of my stupid vlogs that I filmed with my friends. And like if I went on vacations, I used to make videos for that. They weren't meant for other people to watch. They were just for me to store them.
But did you get your idea of starting a real YouTube channel after having that, or did you just want to separate like your actual YouTube career from that?
Because of that first channel, I realized how much I liked content creating, and that definitely sparked like that idea in my head, like, oh, maybe this is what I want to do. But yeah, I created another channel because I wanted to separate like my videos that I made for my friends and family and videos that I made for like the world to see.
What did you think the difference was back then? Like, what made you think that those two were separate types of videos?
Mainly, the other channel I had, I used to share on like my Instagram and like share the link so that my school friends could see it as well. But honestly, I felt like I was never truly myself around school friends, and like I knew I wouldn't be able to be my true self on the first channel where like people in my life could see. I felt like if I made a channel where people that don't know me could view my videos, I could be more myself, which is kind of the opposite of what other people would think. But yeah, posting videos for the world to see, I felt like I could just be anyone I wanted to be, and it was kind of an escape for me because at that time when I started my second channel, I was feeling really frustrated with my life back then, and like I felt very locked. I felt like I had a very small social circle, and just being in school, and I felt very limited to what I could do and like the people I could reach, and I just felt like I was a little lost in my own little city. So I was like, I need like a bigger platform. I need a bigger place where I can meet people from other places and like build my own community basically, and like meet new people. So that's like, what was the question? I don't even know. But that's like the difference.
Wait, I don't remember how people like then started finding out about your actual YouTube channel, like the second one that you made. What happened? Because I know that you didn't like announce it on your Instagram or to people, you know, like, hey, I started YouTube. You just let them slowly figure it out.
Question is, how did people in my real life find out about my official YouTube channel? So the funny thing is, when I started my official YouTube channel, I didn't tell anyone in my life. Like even my closest friends, I didn't tell. I told my sister and my parents about it, or they kind of knew. But my school friends, they had no idea. And I did that on purpose because within my age group, they would always mimic YouTubers and kind of make fun of them as a joke. Not to offend anyone in particular, but they would just be like, oh, like, I'm a beauty guru now. I'm just like, you know, make jokes. And I think a lot of people would understand because so many people are trying to become YouTubers. And if I was to announce that, like, oh, I have a YouTube channel, I'm going to try to become a YouTuber, I knew they were going to be like, oh, like, you're trying to become that person.
Yeah, what I remember is that back then, like, I know it's only been a couple years, but it was very uncommon for someone in your area to be a YouTuber, because I feel like the YouTubers that were big back then were like actually like YouTubers since like 10 years ago. And for someone to randomly start a YouTube channel and become a YouTuber was very like, oh, like she's trying to be a celebrity, or she's become a famous person, and she is, and they don't know, because like, and no one knows how big someone could get. And so when you're first starting out, it's easy to think that, oh, like she's gonna start that, but watch her only have like 35 subscribers. So I feel like that's the biggest part of starting something. Like, people were so judgmental about someone having a YouTube channel, but then now it's only been like 2 to 3 years and everyone, like literally everyone, has a YouTube channel, or it seems like it, or they post for fun or vlog for fun. So much has changed.
Yeah, it's crazy. Definitely. It's so common for someone in your life to start a YouTube channel and like promote it, but even 2-3 years ago it was very uncommon. And for me to even think about that, like, I knew I got anxiety and I knew people would talk about it, so I just didn't. And my plan was to announce it once I hit 10k, because there's a difference between having 9,000 subscribers and having 10k. like, that k that adds to your subscriber count was like everything. And I was like, if I have 10k, like, I'm gonna seem official. No one can make fun of me for saying like, oh, like she's trying to become that YouTuber. They're gonna be like, oh, like she has a YouTube channel. So that was my plan. But then before I hit 10k, I think I posted the skipping school vlog and that went viral, and that video was somehow popping up in like everyone's recommend. So everyone saw that video before I had the chance to like tell them about it. So I used to always get texts and DMs about like, oh my gosh, like I didn't know you had a YouTube channel. And they were all like trying to, you know, like all of a sudden be close with me and everything. And I thought that was pretty funny. But that's how people found out, which I wish I would have had the chance to tell them, like even just friends that I was closer to. I wish I would have gotten the chance to tell them in person instead of having them just find my video pop up in their feed. But that's how it went down, and that was pretty interesting how that happened.
Do you consider your skipping school vlog to be like your viral moment, or do you think you have another like viral moment where you had a video that went viral and people like started finding out?
I think two things kind of happened at once, and I don't know which one was that one thing that boosted up my channel and my popularity, but I think it's both. So one of them is obviously my skipping school vlog. Around that time, I also posted like recreating Sunny Channel's makeup tutorial, and that video was like that viral, like hot video at that time. So that video also got a lot of views. And Sunny reposted my video on her Instagram. So I got a lot of people coming over from her channel to mine through her Instagram post. And then like my video went pretty viral. Because of my skipping school vlog, I realized that people were wanting more like casual vlogs from me and like showing life and showing how life is like in America. So I consistently started making the type of video that people wanted to see, and that definitely like kept them satisfied, and I kept building audience from that point on.
Is there a difference between what you used to watch when you were a viewer and what you watch now as a creator? Like, do you still watch the same type of videos, or have you like gotten out of the whole like old YouTube where like it was different back then, like all the videos or trends mm-hmm. are way different?
I mean, I still watch the same people because I am the type of person, if I stay subscribed, I'm going to keep up with them. And people like Alicia Marie and Miss Remy Ashton, I've been subscribed to them forever. And now that they make more vlog content, more than those like viral, like crazy videos, I've been loving them even more. So back then I used to watch just anything that used to pop up in my feed or anything that seemed interesting. But nowadays, because I make vlogs, I watch more vlogs and I watch something that I know will benefit me in some sort of way. So if you look at my subscription feed, a lot of videos are about healthy lifestyle, people who like to work out, and people who support the lifestyle that I support on my channel. So I like to watch that kind of content to keep me motivated and inspired. And also, one difference that I do notice is that I can't really watch videos now without feeling attacked or like feeling bad about my content, because now it's so easy for me to watch someone's video and think that I need to like edit better or that I need to do something to be more like them. So that's something that I've been like learning to deal with. This is something that you could probably relate to if you attempt to make a video yourself. You realize that your video is not the best, but you don't know quite what it is to like make it better and like make it like the person that you watch.
Okay, then what's one channel that makes you think that like the editing style or whatever is like, man, oh my gosh,
like I wish I could be like that person?
Mm-hmm. Or you just think it's good, like,
oh,
every time you watch their videos.
Oh, okay. I talk about her way too much, but it's kind of cool. I'm obsessed with her, and I think everyone can agree. Like, she is so stylish, and not just her fashion style, but her editing style, too. Like, that woman is just, like, Pinterest in real life. Like, her life is Pinterest.
Okay, what is the hardest part of being a YouTuber? Or what is the hardest thing about your whole job?
Hardest part of being a YouTuber is honestly just realizing that fame isn't everything. And there are so many songs about like the dark side of Hollywood by like Ed Sheeran, Bodhi, like those songs are to like a very like celebrity level fame. But when I listen to those songs, I can also relate, because even though I'm just a YouTuber, there are so many things that you have to deal with and like the pressure that you get from being a YouTuber. And because of that, I imagine like how hard it could be being like an A-list celebrity. But yeah, what goes on behind the screen can get very like lonely and sad and dark if you let it be, because personally, for me, I started my YouTube channel not wanting to become famous or like not for the attention. So when I started to attract a lot of people and like the necessary attention from like people from my school or people who left comments just to like express their like those self-sabotaging comments, you know, that makes me feel bad for the life that I'm living, which I shouldn't. But I used to get a lot of comments from people who are just jealous, like pure jealousy. They're just like, oh, like she's living that life when I'm doing this and that and that. Like I'm dealing with this. I have this that I'm struggling with. And look at her. Like, if you leave comments like that, first of all, like, why are you leaving that? That's not going to help anyone. And that's making me feel bad about the life that I have. So yeah, dealing with those comments was hard, and just like getting used to the attention and accepting the fact that I actually have influence over these people, and that a lot of people say that they look up to me, which is good to hear. But for me, who doesn't deal well with getting attention, it's a lot of pressure. And yeah, I think the hardest part is just dealing with pressure. And that comes from many things. But another hard thing that I just remembered was that I live in the US, obviously, and the way I think and the way I just perceive things is such like an American way, I would say. But a lot of my viewers are from Korea, and they just have a different point of view and different values in life. That there were some things that when they view my videos, they were jealous of, or they just didn't understand. They would leave like their opinions in the comments, and I wouldn't understand that. And also just kind of making sure that I don't let their point of views change my point of views. So I just had to think a lot about like what I really valued and like what I thought was important in my life, because I had that self-identity crisis where I'm like, do I have to fit into a Korea standard of like being a good person and like having a good life, or do I have to fit into America's standard of being like a good person? And by good person, I mean more like America prefers very like extraordinary, like they want you to be original, they want you to be very outgoing, they want you to be that like very welcoming, outgoing person. And in Korea, it's more like about individuality and individuality, but also going along with the flow and like you fitting into the society instead of you shining as like an individual. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I had a self-identity crisis. I was like, I don't know which way I have to go. I don't know which way my channel should be going. But in the end of all that, I realized that I don't even have to think about that, to be honest. I just live my life, and that's how I'm gonna live my life.
If people are watching content from a different country or from a different perspective or a different background or just a different lifestyle, I think it's important to have in mind that you're watching it for like entertainment or informational reasons. Like there's no reason to do like all these harsh comparisons or trying to let them know that this is different and that is different and this is not the way here or why is it like that there. For example, if I'm watching like a European vlogger, I'm not going to watch that and try to think of all the ways that they're different and wrong or whatever. Like it should be an entertainment purpose if you're watching someone else's life like that. So
not everything has to change your life, or you don't have to change other people's life.
Yeah, just take it lighthearted, I guess, both ways, the viewers and the creator. Like you don't have to change your life to make them happy, or the viewers don't have to change the creator's lives or change their lives to fit the creators, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
What are some stereotypes that are not true about YouTubers? Because I know that some people might think they act a certain way or do certain things, but YouTubers, like, they're normal people and have normal, you know.
Okay, so I have like 3 things that I could think of, but if you have any other stereotypes you can think of, you can let me know. First one is that being a YouTuber is easy, and that's because it could be easy, honestly. If I was to just put up vlogs without subtitles, I could do that like 3 times a week, no problem. But it's not easy, at least for me, because it takes hours for me to edit. And also, to be like a successful YouTuber with an audience, like a solid audience, you need like years to build a true audience. So yeah, it takes time, it takes effort, and it's definitely not an easy thing. Also, another stereotype is, I hear this a lot from like my college friends or just people in my life that are a bit older. They would say things like, so the stereotype is that your future is set. And that stereotype is definitely not it, because I used to hear this a lot when I was writing essays for college and getting ready for college application. They were saying things like, oh, you don't even have to go to college. Your future is already pretty set. Like, even if things don't work out, you can just do YouTube full time. But then what they don't realize is that YouTube is so hard to maintain as like a stable job. And just because I have a YouTube channel with 450k subscribers, that doesn't mean that my future is set, because they just think that I have everything together, but I don't. And I feel equally as lost as someone without a YouTube channel and who are just full-time students, you know? We're the same. We have same struggles. We have same uncertainty over, like, our future. And, yeah. The third one is that we show everything. Like, especially being a vlogger, it's easy to think that when we vlog, that we're vlogging, like, our whole day. But in reality, we really don't. We film like parts of our days, and some people might vlog a lot, but for me, when I vlog with people, they always tell me like, wow, you actually don't vlog that much, like how do you make a vlog out of that? Because if I'm hanging out with someone for a whole day, they would only see me pull out a camera a few times, because I think it's important to actually have time without the camera and just people to people time. But they think that hanging out with a YouTuber would be like having a camera shoved in front of their face the whole day, but it's really not like that. So yeah, I have a lot of things that I keep private. The parts of me that are shown online are real and genuine, but there are also parts of me that are not being shown. So yeah, I think it's pretty easy to separate. If you think YouTube as work, it's pretty easy to separate your personal life from work, even if you're a YouTuber. So those are the stereotypes that I could think of that are not true. Do you have anything else?
I just want to add to like people thinking YouTube is easy. Whenever I get the question like, oh my God, your sister's a YouTuber or anything along those lines, they're like so curious, because not everyone knows a YouTuber. And what I tell them is that you are very 독해. Like, it's not something anyone could do. And yeah. I tell them that she is a YouTuber because she's so, what's 독해 in English?
Very like determined,
but in a really intense way.
Yeah.
And you can't do YouTube if you're lazy or if you're like, oh, whatever, like I'm doing this because I'm gonna try to make money, like I'm gonna try to get a sponsorship or like become like a
influencer,
social media influencer, whatever. But one thing I do notice is that I follow like very genuine people, because I don't like the whole like fake fame clout like drama type of things related to the internet world. And what I noticed is that a lot of the people I watch, they didn't start for the money or fame or for the popularity or whatever.
Yeah.
So
a lot of people just started because they were bored.
Yeah, and they continue to do it because they're so determined in what they do and what they share. And you can't do that out of just random like curiosity or just a random spark of like, I just want to do it, you know? So that's what I tell people, like to be a YouTuber, it's so freaking like, it's different from having a job or going to college. Like you have to be like kind of crazy.
Yeah. You have to be obsessed with it. And this is what I think, or this is what I wrote down in my journal one time. And I remember because I was like, wow, this comparison is perfect. It's so easy to start YouTube, and it's anyone could start YouTube, but it's about keeping up and doing it every week. Because, and my comparison was, I compared it to working out. Anyone can start working out and anyone can work out for a day, but can everyone keep up with working out regularly? No. You just gotta be obsessed with it. So, yeah.
Would you ever be a full-time YouTuber? And if you're not, what do you think your next thing would be? Or when would that be? In terms of timing,
okay.
Like, are you gonna just become a college student, or are you gonna do something else? Like, a lot of YouTubers have like businesses other than their channel now, so anything like that you have in mind?
I don't think YouTube is ever going to be my only job. and it has never been. I'm doing YouTube full time, as in like I upload every week and I make a pretty like stable income out of it, but I always want to be showing people what I do through YouTube, and that could be like showing my life as a student. Right now it's my life as an intern, etc, etc. So my next thing, so my channel used to be like a day in my life as a high school student, and now that I'm done with high school, my next thing is being an intern. But now I see it's probably going to be a college student next. And then after that, I don't know. But yeah, I don't think I'll ever become a full-time YouTuber. And by full-time YouTuber, I'm meaning like just doing YouTube as a job or a source of income. But yeah, I always want to have something on the side where I can like show people what I do. I definitely want to have a business one day though. So maybe in the future, you guys will get a day in my life as a CEO.
Oh, ambitious.
Yep, young and ambitious. That's me.
Okay, since now you're not gonna be that like high school lifestyle vlogger, what could be your brand now? Like,
okay,
is there going to be a change in how you brand yourself?
Okay, so my biggest brand was that I was a high school student, but now that I'm done with high school, I mean, not a lot of things are gonna change because I'm still pushing that like Korean American healthy lifestyle, being real, staying productive, like the hustling life that I always used to promote. I'm still all about that, but now my keywords are like living alone, being in LA, being an intern, and being 18, just like starting adulting. So being a young adult, I guess. I feel like the term young adult itself is very like almost cringy, but yeah, I think a lot of people could relate with the lifestyle, the new lifestyle that I'm adapting to. And I'm very excited to be creating different kind of content, even though they're pretty similar. One thing that I do want to start incorporating in my videos is what goes on behind the scenes as well. So I love this YouTuber, Natalie Barbu, and my sister is a big fan of her as well. But on her videos, she talks a lot about what goes on behind the brand deal, what goes on behind like recording for a podcast, how she edits her videos, how she edits her Instagram post, behind the scenes of sponsored Instagram posts and everything like that. And that's something that's really interesting for me to see, even though I do those things myself. So I think it'll be interesting for my viewers to see how I do things. And I want to start incorporating more of that to my brand, like being very transparent.
Okay, speaking of transparency, for this like last segment, I just wanted to see if you have any like business tea or like any type of tea you want to spill about the whole business aspect of it. Oh. It could be like what you like or don't like about sponsorships, or like the weirdest deal you've ever seen, or the best experience you've had with a brand, or anything related to that, because I feel like people are curious. Whenever I get questions from people, they always like want to know like how like deals come to you and how like the sponsorships work.
Oh, really?
How much they pay you. And yeah.
Okay, I don't really have much of a tea, but for me to just geek out about all of this, one thing that I do really feel thankful for is that through YouTube, I think I kind of discovered how much I like being in this like business industry and how interesting it is, like all the deals and how it works. But yeah, there are different types of sponsorships you can get as a YouTuber or as a content creator. I could separate it into three different ways or three different types. One of them is called integration or normal PPL. That's talking about the company, the brand, or the product for like 30 seconds to a minute max. So that's like a really casual type of sponsorship. And to give my two cents on it, that's my favorite type of sponsorships to do because it's so easy for me to incorporate, especially if they're promoting healthy lifestyle or like productivity. I'm all in for, because I already talk about that on my video, so it's very easy for me to incorporate that. And also I feel good promoting them because I genuinely think that that product or that brand could enhance all of our lives. But the other type is, I don't know how they call it in English, but in Korean it's 기획PPL, or if I translate it in English, it's planned out, like planned PPL. And that's when you have to like turn in your whole plan, or like your game of plan of how your video is going to be edited, how it's going to be filmed, and you just basically plan everything out so that your video is approved by the brand, and that's like a longer segment in your video. I have done this, and I do like making these types of content if I'm working with a brand that I genuinely like, or a brand that I already use. And then the third type is a branded content, and that's when the video itself is basically just centered around that brand, so you're making a whole video for that brand. I usually stay away from branded content just because it's just a lot of work that goes into it, and it stresses me out, and I don't even think I've done a full branded content before. But yeah, I think the tea is that a lot of brands don't give you time to actually test out the product. Like if you receive the product, it's like you're making a video for them. So if you're like just starting out, or if you're also a YouTuber, my tip is that I always ask, like, am I getting time to test this out? If I get this product, that I have to make videos for you guys? Because that's something that I really value. I don't want to make a video for a product that I hate. So yeah, a lot of brands require you to say things in a specific way, and I think those guidelines are helpful and necessary for brands to market and to advertise their products the way they want them to be advertised. But some companies are just very strict, and they like force people to say things. So I like to just dodge my way through those, and I don't even reply to emails that ask me to do those types of sponsorship. But also, yeah, a lot of those brands or agencies that work for these brands will email me, and I handle those emails all myself. And through YouTube, I realized how many people there are so many people in the world who don't know how to write a professional email, and that bothers me so much. It's really not hard to write a professional email. All you have to do is write in full sentences and to say hello and to say sincerely. But a lot of people ignore those and use you as instead of YOU.
I think that's a sign that you shouldn't take that deal, because it's clear that they're not professional, and
a lot of brands don't know how these work, and a lot of brands don't know how to properly reach out, and that makes me really sad, and it's unfortunate for them. But it's true. Whenever, like, when I get an email, I know I can see how organized their brand is and like how unorganized their brand is.
Yeah, and I think that really tells about their like marketing team or their budget or whatever they have for the type of sponsorship that they're trying to give you. Because if you're not organized within your whole company, like your internal team, then how are you going to work with someone who is going to sell your product or do an advertisement for you? So like that's how you know to like dodge those.
Yeah, but good deals and like good business relation experience I've had is, I'm going to say the brand just because they were nice and this is like a good recognition, but this one brand that I worked with named J Industry, they're a clothing brand, and they're really, really nice people behind. And the reason why I can say that is because even through their email, I can notice like the sincerity and the effort they put into even just sending me an email. And also Purito, the skincare brand that I work with all the time, they're really nice people behind the screens, and I love when I can tell through an email that they watch my videos and that they're genuinely like my subscribers and my fans.
you would be so surprised to find that a lot of people that do email her, like, it's so obvious in some of their emails that they don't watch her videos mm-hmm. or they don't know who her audience is. So they would try to sell something that's in like Korea only, and she's based in the US. So even if she like promoted that, there is no way she's going to keep using this or keep promoting this, because mm-hmm. she is not in the demographics of obtaining your services, you know? So when I hear stuff like that, I'm just like so mind boggled. Like, is that the right? I'm just so confused how these people work in the social media or marketing yeah. industry, because these people are, they should not be working there.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's the tea.
But yeah, I want to say that I do discover like brands or products through her too. And Purito is so good. Like, I would have not known about this brand if it was just me looking through the
web,
me looking through like online websites or whatever web. Shopping for yeah, because I've never heard of the brand. I don't see it like being sold here. So when she gave me something to try, I was like, yeah, whatever, like, she got it for free, so I'm just gonna take it, so I don't have to buy a sunscreen. And it's literally my favorite sunscreen, so mm-hmm.
it's amazing.
I love that. Okay, for the last question, I want to ask the influencer herself what the best kind of engagement is, like what is going to help the influencer the most in the best way. Because I always see people saying stuff like, please subscribe, like push the notification button on, comment, like DM me or whatever. Like, there's so many different types. There's so many different, like, they do like polls and like Instagram lives, and people, like the amount of people who are watching their lives or whatever. There's so many types of engagement and so many platforms. So in order to support someone, like, what would give them the best amount of like
value?
Statistics. Like, if I want to support a YouTuber and I'm like watching her videos every day and I'm not like liking or commenting or sharing her stuff, what if she's not getting paid enough even though I'm like religiously watching her?
Okay, so I can take this question two different ways. So what's the best thing you could do for your favorite YouTuber, and also what's something that you could do as a YouTuber for engagement? So if you are wanting to support your favorite influencer or your favorite YouTuber, the best way to help them out would be watching their videos without skipping the ads, because that's how they make money from the ads. Also, just honestly, you watching the video like 10 times is not really going to help, because we can see the individual views, like the unique viewers, so that doesn't really matter. But yeah, subscribing and having the notification on would help them get consistent views. Commenting, I mean, yeah, but it's not really going to like change the world or anything like that. But as a YouTuber, if you're starting out as a YouTuber, if you're a newbie, best kind of engagement to gain a following would be forming like one-on-one connection through just even liking a comment or replying to comment. Because imagine your favorite YouTuber hearting your comment, like, that's going to make your day. And I've had so many of those experiences when I have commented on someone else's video and like they notice me, and that makes me like them even more. There's something about that. So just forming those relationships with your viewers really helpful. And also like replying to comments on Instagram. And when brands are wanting your analytics for future sponsorship, they always ask to see like how many people you're reaching with your stories. So keeping up with stories and like consistently posting is also a really good thing for your brand.
So that was our interview style episode on the behind the scenes of YouTube. I really wanted to do this because I find it really interesting when YouTubers do more business type behind the scenes, and I think it's very informational, because even though YouTube is really big now, a lot of things are very mysterious. Like, not a lot of people know what goes on behind, like...
What I've noticed is a lot of American YouTubers are very transparent about being a YouTuber and having YouTube as a business. And it's so natural for them to have YouTube as a business, but a lot of Korean YouTubers, if they do YouTube full-time and make a full income out of it, they don't really talk about it. And a lot of people don't keep this, like, as a transparent thing. So I definitely wanted to do this where I talk more about it and just break that wall so I can continue to talk about it and shed some light on what goes on behind the scenes. And also I don't know of a lot of Korean American YouTubers my age who does this as a business. So yeah, I thought I would speak on it and encourage people to build their brand because it's amazing.
And also the more transparency you bring, I feel like people are going to have more respect because they know and appreciate the amount of effort and the amount of passion that goes into this instead of just being like that online internet personality, star, influencer, whatever, like superficial thing that people want to call it. But yeah, this was a very good episode for those who are curious.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for listening until the end. We haven't edited this, obviously, so we don't know how long it's going to be, but it was a longer recording session. So if you listen till the very end, go comment a camera emoji because it's YouTube special episode. So yeah, yes. Hope you guys are doing well. Hope you guys are staying healthy and indoors. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
Bye.
Goodbye.